absolute tank. Right center field. It is off the wall. To second goes Ohtani. To home goes Ohtani. It was a home run.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee. Can you sweep the series and do it without Curry? Butler to Pajemski, another three. Got it! Oh, Pajemski! Welcome back!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
They have to go 94 feet. Simpson will inbound under his own basket. Pinedo pressures the ball. He throws a baseball right-hand pass. Arcing toward the far free throw line. It's loose under the basket. Laid up and in by Knox. 7/10 of a second to go. Amar Knox gives Alabama State the lead. 70-68.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan. Good morning.
Okay.
Happy hump day, everybody. It is a Wednesday morning.
What is happening?
Rise and grind.
Rise and grind.
Rise and grind.
Are you getting your hump on today? Are we humping today?
I forgot it was Wednesday.
Did you for a second? Yeah. That happens as the week goes on. You're kind of like, wait, what is it? Oh, that's right. Okay, it's Wednesday.
Just wrapped up in the madness of first four action.
I mean, how could you not be last night? I mean, just thrilling basketball.
It's
all the way till the end. Final buzzer. Kept you on your toes. How's this one going to end up? I don't know.
37-14.
Woke up at 3 a.m., watched Dodgers and Cubs game two.
You woke up at 3 a.m.?
I didn't see a second of that game. No. I didn't see the Japanese fans were already cheating to help Shohei Ohtani break records this year.
Of course. Well, so they should.
If he hits 74, asterisks if he gets 74.
Is it clear, like, cheating? He grabs the ball.
Dude, that was fan interference. Was that not fan interference?
Did he get called?
I mean, that's fan. If that's fan interference,
did he get called?
That guy, he got a hometown call. He's in Japan. They're giving that guy a home run. Everybody's going crazy. We're not keeping him at second base.
Japanese umps? Is that what you're saying?
I think the Japanese umps.
It was already 5-3 Doyers at that time.
Oh, because 5-3 is an insurmountable lead.
Well, exactly. With their glorious bullpen, nobody's going to come back on the Dodgers.
You've got guys that can throw 98 miles an hour.
You kind of don't deserve to really talk. You basically didn't care about your opening day yesterday.
Let's set this fun date.
You wore a Linfield sweatshirt, and your team started the Major League Baseball season. You're like, I don't really care.
Off of
and
a World
then today,
Series,
you're like, hey, well, our closers aren't good enough.
With a win. How long will it take until we get a complaint from Jason Swigart? How long into the season?
What did I complain about?
No, he said he's trusting their bullpen now. They all throw 99 miles an hour.
That was not a complaint.
What's the date on the calendar that we get a... He's getting a little frustrated.
They're doing this. Mookie's not playing. Freddie's not playing yet.
Do we get one before
Kershaw
June?
Just got put on the injured list.
Do we get one in the first 2 months of the season? Do we get
You'll
one of
get
those
one
rants?
In May.
You think we'll get one in May?
Random May complaint.
Random May. Three-game losing streak.
Yep.
Rotation doesn't look good.
Giants sweep you.
Another starter goes down or something. Giants aren't sweeping anybody this year, but I appreciate the effort.
Random baseball
that's
stuff
true.
Happens.
That's very true. 162 games. You get random outcomes from time to time.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I'm not seeing a lot of interference at all.
That's reaching over the fence. Guy's reaching over. Who's that kid in New York that did that to
Jeffrey Mayer 30 years ago?
It's Jeffrey Mayer. It's the Japanese Jeffrey Mayer.
Where is Jeffrey Mayer these days?
I don't know. Based on the way they treat fans who interact with play now, he probably should have a statue built. I bet he's in the Yankee Hall of Fame, a little walk of fame out there.
I've seen far more egregious ones than this.
This is you. This is your 25% Japanese in you. Look at you. You're falling right into the trap that they want you to believe that was a home run. It's all rigged against us, man.
Yeah. More important was Kike and Tommy Edman going yard. That was more important.
Oh, it was more important.
Yeah, it's more important.
It's more important.
Shohei's going to hit
game 2
dingers.
Of 162.
Catch more the fever.
Shohei will hit his 50 dingers.
The fever.
Weren't sure Kike could do it anymore.
Not sure. He's hitting 7th in the lineup, and he would be a cleanup hitter on like half the teams in baseball.
The funniest thing is you remaining a Dodger fan and ditching every other sports team in your life. That
I've never ditched
thing.
The Blazers. I've been pissed at the Blazers, but I've never ditched the Blazers.
You have no emotion on the Blazers.
Well,
if I gave you a 2-hour show to do on the Blazers, I don't think you'd give me a take.
Mm.
I think you'd just run through what their schedule's been. Oh, you have no emotion towards the Blazers.
Well, it's been beaten out of me over many, many, many years.
But
This is kind of what I'm saying. The other teams have just scared you off.
Yeah, they've been so bad that you've been willing to move. I think it's the hometown thing. You can't leave a hometown team.
No,
the other teams aren't. Other teams aren't hometown teams. They were front running fandoms of childhood, which every fan as a kid is a front running fan. But you grow up. The Cowboys are good. Now they're not good anymore.
He can.
But you have
them.
No connection to Dallas.
He could ditch Portland. Why couldn't he ditch Portland?
I mean, you could stop rooting for Portland. It'd be really weird if he became a diehard fan of another NBA team. Like if he showed up one day and was like, "By the way, go Kings." You're like, "Wait, what?"
No.
Huh? That would make no sense at all.
The only way that's happening is
big Orlando Magic fan.
All of a sudden, the play-by-play voice.
Yeah, then you would do it in a heartbeat.
Homer it up like nobody's business.
If you're in some other city, you would become a diehard of that team. That's the way that it usually works.
Yeah, I don't think NBA. No, no, I wouldn't be MLB either. Unless Portland gets... No.
Yeah, if the Dodgers didn't spend money and sucked, you would ditch them.
You lived through the Frank McCourt
era. You
became
a Dodger fan at the same time
as
you became a
Cowboy fan. I went through
that
crap with McCourt, who bought the team on a credit card, and it was awful.
Okay.
I did not ditch him.
But you were a Cowboy and Dodger fan at the same time, were you not?
Yeah.
You ditched one of those.
That's because they kept lying to me. The Dodgers never lied.
They just sucked for a long time. Went a long time without winning a World Series.
Makes no sense what you just said, but okay.
Him coming in as a random NBA fan would be really weird, but I don't think that'll ever happen.
I need him to be a Magic fan.
Orlando Magic.
Yeah.
You almost sudden, I'm big Paolo Banchero fan. How could you not be, man? Come in with a Banchero jersey.
Dude, he gets to be a Wagner.
All excited.
I love the Wagner brothers.
The Wagner brothers.
I mean, they got cool gear. Like, if you're going to switch gear allegiances, wearing an Orlando Magic gear would be kind of cool.
Yeah,
I like
my Michael
colors.
Doliak retro jersey.
Yeah. Shout out Central Catholic. Go Utes. That'd be pretty cool.
Get his dad to sign it. He's just up the road doing braces.
I know.
He's got to be around here somewhere. Does Doliak still live here? Did Michael Doliak move back?
I don't know where Doliak
ended
up.
He lives in Utah.
Utah, back in Utah?
Yeah, I asked him. I asked his dad once. He was, because his dad didn't know what I did. And I was getting, he's just checking my mouth and he was asking me a question. And I was like, hey, man, super random, but your kid's kind of a legend in the Mount Hood Conference.
He is. What's he up to these days?
And I said, where is your kid? He goes, he's just skiing every day in Salt Lake.
That's good.
Sounds like he's probably living a good, pretty sweet life.
Would you like to see that guy coming down skis behind you?
6'11", just holy crap.
Man, barreling down a mountain.
Excuse me! To your right!
Yeah, I mean, for a guy who was not in the NBA that long, his career earnings were almost $20 million. Almost $20 million in the NBA.
Late 90s?
He was in from 1998 was his first year with the Orlando Magic, and he played until 2008, his last year with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
So that $20 million probably translates, let's do the inflation math here, $85 million?
Probably at this point. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, he had no state income tax when he was in Orlando.
Then he went to Cleveland. Man. Then he was in New York for a couple of years, had three years in Miami.
He was a Knick?
He was a Knick in 2003. Knick. From 2002 to 2004, he was a Knick. And then he went to Miami for 3 years. And then wrapped it up with the old Timberwolves.
So let's say he cleared of the $20 million after taxes and fees and all that. Let's say he cleared like 12 and a half in his career.
And then you buy a house with straight cash, so you own it. Your property tax.
You're doing pretty good.
Yeah. You're doing okay.
Life's pretty good for Michael Doliak.
Assume you invest your money wisely.
Yes, hence why he's skiing every day in Salt Lake City.
Your father also owns a braces empire that you're probably going to inherit.
That just prints money. Yeah. I mean, just everybody needs braces, and it costs a lot of money, and you got money guns in the back of that place.
I contributed to that fund.
There you go. He'll be coaching some high school there in Utah before.
Why do you think that?
Just to get out of the house and stay busy?
Yeah, I think so.
Sounds like he loves skiing.
Just out there shredding pow-pow, man. Just shredding pow-pow down the mountain.
He definitely goes in the realm of how many NBA players has the state of Oregon produced ever that have played three or more seasons? He definitely may be the most underrated of all of them.
25 at most.
Yeah, there's not a lot of them.
Who's more underrated that made the NBA and had a lengthy career that we don't talk about ever?
Where is he compared to Drew Eubanks?
Well, that's tough for me to gauge because Eubanks is in the now.
Well, I understand that, but Eubanks has now been in the league for, fifth year, sixth year maybe?
I think he's approaching that territory, yeah.
He's been around for a minute.
Eubanks, yeah.
Let me see. Drew Eubanks, his career earnings.
How many years has he been in the league?
Yeah, that's a projected salary. That's not going to help me. Hold on, let me look it up. Drew Eubanks.
How'd you find a projected salary?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a random hoops hype website. I didn't think I was going to stumble on that. Drew Eubanks in the NBA. He has been in the league. He's 28 years old. His first year in the league was 2018.
Yeah, so he's this is your seven?
Encroaching on that territory.
Yeah. 7-8?
He's getting close on that.
Yeah.
3 years in, what was it? Was it Sacramento or San Antonio? Yeah, San Antonio. 3 years in San Antonio, then came to Portland.
Went to Phoenix.
Was then also on Utah or the Clippers? I don't know where he's at right now.
He's in Utah.
Is he in Utah right now?
Well, the Clippers might have traded for him. I know he's in Utah.
Did he go to
Utah? I saw him in Utah earlier this year.
Yes, he's played for both the Jazz and the Clippers this year.
Did he sign a 2-year deal with the Jazz, and I think he was traded to the Clippers.
Okay. I'm gonna take your word for that one.
Yeah, don't quote me on
it. I'm going to go ahead and believe you on that one.
Put anonymous on that.
Anonymous
use the quote. And then use anonymous.
Where could he be?
Name to it.
He currently plays for the Los Angeles Clippers.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he's averaging 5 points and 4 rebounds. The Shaq Troutdale, they call him.
Yeah, but Doliak is a better player.
Yeah.
He could shoot.
He could.
He's a little mid-range.
He could.
Doliak was dangerous on the pick and pop.
Was he dangerous?
Yeah. Right there at the top.
Can't
of
leave
the key.
Him unguarded.
Right at the top of the key.
Right at the top of the key.
I want to see how many points. What's his highest point per game average in his career?
You know, who knows? What do we need to research that for?
It was in his second year in the league. His highest point per game in a season of 7.
Played a different era.
Different era. 1999-2000.
Don't look at the shooting percentages.
He shot 45% from the floor.
There you go.
Dude, that's pretty good for a big.
That's not bad.
Picking and popping.
That's not terrible.
I'm just saying, I think if you rounded up all the people.
Yeah.
Interesting term to use right now. Probably shouldn't have said
Don't round up all the people.
If you got all the Oregonians who have played in the NBA for 3 or more seasons, I think Doliak's the most underrated.
That's a pretty strong argument, because there's not that many guys in the history of the league. There's only 15, 20 of them, and it can't be that many that are actual Oregonians.
You've got to be real inside baseball, I think, to remember the name. And that's not a disrespect. It just he played.
Right. I think you also have to be of a certain age. Like, if you're 24 years old, you have no frame of reference for Michael Doliak.
You really might know his dad four braces more than him in the NBA.
You're like, why is there an NBA jersey hanging in your office? This is kind of weird. Do you know this guy? Is he related? Oh, he's your son. I had no idea, man.
Seeing his dad is like, oh, yeah, this makes sense. Yeah, you're his dad.
That sounds about
right.
That's
how he got to 6'11".
I mean, he was a huge deal in high school, and he was a big deal in college, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was a big,
Catholic.
I mean, from Central Catholic to Utah was a big deal.
Think about how many players have had their numbers retired at Central Catholic. I don't know if there's been that many. I think he's one of them.
He's got to be one of them, I'd imagine.
Which they've had a pretty prestigious little, you know.
Yeah, they had a nice run.
Athletic institution. Yeah. Was he there at the same time as Joey? Or did he miss Joey?
I think he missed Joey.
He was a little after.
If he went, I guess he came in 98, he'd miss Joey.
I think he missed Joey.
He missed Joey.
Yeah. Because they made it to the national championship game, did they not, when he was at Utah?
I can't remember if he was there with Van Horn or not.
I thought that when he was there, they did, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
He might have been a freshman?
But I just, like, that had to have been one of the more random, because I was following sports at that point,
Majerus.
Yeah, with Majerus.
Van Horn.
I swear he was on that team that made the national championship.
What year was that? Let's see,
His senior year would have been 98, probably, because his first year in the NBA was the next year.
National final,
97-98.
He would have been there.
That had to have been one of the more random teams. You're like, wait, Utah's in the national championship game? Utah?
I thought it was really cool to see Rick Majerus. I saw him like a year or 2 years before he died.
Did you?
Yeah, he was coaching the Billikens.
He'll always be a legend for that run.
Yeah, I went to an LMU game. I was randomly in L.A. That was the game that Eddie Winslow thought we were best friends.
That's right. You almost hung out with Eddie Winslow. You almost
What's
went to
up, my man? Hey!
Eddie I'm disappointed. Winslow? Were you at Gersten Pavilion?
I didn't really expect much. I knew it wasn't a big facility. It was kind of cool. I sat right where Gathers died. They have like a little area.
Like a little plaque on the floor?
Hank Gathers died.
And they let somebody sit there every game?
It's not really like a plaque. It's more just like a heads up.
Like an aura?
Yeah. This is where he collapsed.
So go ahead and don't do anything weird.
They have fully embraced Hank's house and all of that stuff over
Beautiful
the years.
Campus, by the way.
Yeah.
LMU is gorgeous if you haven't seen it. All right, well, there you go. Michael Doliak, fun facts.
Yeah,
fun
get
facts.
Out your Dirt and Sprague bingo cards on a Wednesday.
I didn't have that one on my card.
Do you think he's a good interview?
Michael Doliak?
Be a really random summertime interview.
I bet he's solid.
You do you?
I think Michael Doliak's a good interview.
Hmm.
Let's call him up. Let's get him on the horn this summer.
I'd love to know like 10 fun facts about Michael Doliak.
Just in July. I mean, he's been out of the league now for a day. Like, what are you doing? What's your day-to-day life look like?
Are you just skiing every
day? Are you running businesses to Swag's Point? Are you coaching high school basketball?
Right.
You know, you're just doing something to stay busy. You made $20 million in the league. You're living good life.
Do you own a lot of Taco Bells? What do you do with your money?
I got to own a lot of Taco Bells.
You think he wants to answer that question? What do you do with your money?
Well, you know. Where do you invest, Michael Doliak?
My wife spends it all.
What's your retirement account look like? Like, huh? Tell me the facts, Doliak.
I mean, I think his retirement's doing okay.
He's probably solid.
Michael Doliak on the show in July. Let's make that happen. I don't know how.
Do that the same day we do our top 10 coaches list.
Call up your orthodontist. Get his number.
Top 10 player list.
Yeah, top 10 player list.
Call up to the old orthodontist. Be like, hey, we want to get your son on the radio. What's he up to? Give me a phone number.
I'm pretty sure they hated me there.
They didn't like you there?
Well.
Too many complaints about the bills over the years?
It
cost this much. What?
It actually wasn't complaints about money at all. It was more like I thought it was going to be a year process turned into a 2.5 year process.
We're going to go ahead and extend this thing out a little bit.
Hey, we need to add a rubber band in your mouth. Are you kidding me?
What?
Yeah, your jaw's effed up.
This is ridiculous.
Damn it.
It'll be an extra $5,000. Thank you very much.
We could, though. I think I could get his number if we reach out and go through the proper channels.
Let's
love
pull
to
it
talk
off,
to Michael.
It's a hell of a daily ticker in the middle of July.
Do you follow anything Central Catholic anymore?
It's a big
no,
donor,
they're still
man.
Good. Great.
Yeah, they're still doing solid.
We still taking everybody's best athletes from their little communities?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's
yep.
cool.
Yep. We're still doing that.
Scholarship.
Them and West Lynn.
Them and West Lynn and Jesuit. And yeah, basically, there's no rules to transferring in high school anymore. You can
no,
just do
no,
it.
It is. You think not. A college recruiting is bad or NIL or transfer portal is bad? High school football is absolute chaos.
Dude, Dusty told us some stuff.
It's absolute chaos.
Disgusting.
You go wherever the hell you want, man. There are no rules. It's good luck upholding that stuff.
Coaches and the way colleges are connected to high schools now, it's all just.
It's dirty business, man. Dirty
it's
business.
Dirty, dirty business. We got a lot to get to today. Yesterday, I want to start here. Yesterday, I don't think it could have gone better from a comedic standpoint. I really don't. And I want to start there. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. Well, yesterday, we talked about that idiot governor in West Virginia, Patrick Morrisey.
Yes.
Who wastes everybody's time by pretending to care about West Virginia men's basketball not making the NCAA tournament.
Turns out West Virginia basketball doesn't care about West Virginia basketball.
You know, he could have also spent half that time just complimenting the women for making the tournament because they're in the NCAA tournament on the women's bracket, but I bet you he doesn't know that because, well...
But I don't think he follows anything with sports, so I don't think he has any idea.
He follows the men's things enough, I think, to be able to go out and do press conferences.
Yeah, I think this was mostly a, how do I get a PR win? How do I look cool in front of
sure.
my constituents?
Sure.
You know, this
but
guy,
of the two, which one do you think he's
oh,
watching?
Oh, he follows men's probably yeah. more than women's, but he also, just from the look of the guy's jib, I don't think this guy's following much sports.
Well, so he has this big rant. What did he call it? A miscarriage of justice.
Miscarriage of justice.
And then yesterday afternoon, I honestly read this and chuckled at my house because it came out that their head coach, Darian DeVries, who came from Drake.
How long was he at West Virginia again?
They just picked him up last year. Part of the package was getting him and his son, who was the conference player of the year from whatever conference Drake is in.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player.
He's leaving West Virginia, and he's going to Indiana.
Yeah, 1 year. 1 year, and see you later.
West Virginia being a stepping stone for 1 year. What a timing of comedic nature with the governor's comments on the team missing the tournament.
It was hilarious that this happened in the aftermath of that. He ranted and raved. He's also trying to play this out because a lot of people sent out things of like, I wonder if... You know, this governor is now going to sue the state of Indiana for stealing their head basketball coach. Like, who's he going to sue next? And he's like quote tweeting these things in a joking manner as if all of this is just one big joke. And it's acknowledging that none of this is serious.
Yeah.
And he was just doing it for PR win inside his state from his constituents.
That's politics in a nutshell.
It was absolutely hilarious to see, after all the complaining, for a 19-13 team who had at least four losses by 20-plus points this season in a Big 12 that wasn't as good as a traditional Big 12 lose their coach after 1 year. And Indiana, man, still got their fastball. Now they're going to fire this guy in 3 years because that's what Indiana does.
You don't think he'll be a good coach?
I mean, I'm not saying he's not going to be a good coach, but it's Indiana. I think they have unrealistic expectations there. And they're going to, if this guy doesn't make it to an Elite Eight within the first 3 or 4 years, they're going to probably want to run him out of the building because I just feel like that's what Indiana does to all their coaches at this point.
Really?
I do, yeah.
What's the farthest Mike Woodson got with Indiana?
I'd guess a Sweet 16. I don't know if he got to a Sweet 16, but I'd guess there.
He never got to a Sweet 16.
Never got to a Sweet 16.
He was there for 4 seasons. They basically said, we can fire you or you can retire.
Yeah, after 4 years.
And so he chose to walk away.
Yes, that was I'm doing this to save my dignity, but he would have been fired at the end of the season.
Archie Miller never made the tournament.
Nope.
He was there for 4 seasons.
Nope.
That was a big, like, I couldn't have been more wrong on a hire. I thought Archie Miller would be a good coach.
Seemed like that one was going to work out for everybody involved, and it was not the case.
Crean is the last coach to get them to at least the Sweet 16. That was in the 2015-16
season. So it's been a decade since they've been to the Sweet 16.
It's been a decade since Indiana.
I mean, they're the equivalent of Nebraska football. It's the same thing. It's a fan base that was once proud. They were once the crown jewel of the sport, and they've been irrelevant for the entire set. I mean, this for the last 25 years, they've been irrelevant. Outside of a moment here or a player there, they've been forgettable in their sport. And so the last two coaches, 4 years, you mentioned Woodson. They ran him out essentially after 4 years because they were not thrilled with the direction things were going. They gave him the high road. That was like a David Shaw. Let's go ahead and say we're splitting ways here. Or you're walking away so it doesn't look bad on you because we like you, but we're going to fire you at the end of the season. Like, good luck, man. Good luck.
Swag, can you refresh my memory? Why did Kelvin Sampson not stay there? Says he was there for 2 years. He was after Mike Davis, after they made that championship
did
that
he
random
go
year.
To the NBA after that? Or were
he was 22-4 in 2007-2008, and then Dan Dokic took over?
Yeah, radio either host, right?
I want to say,
and then he lost in the first round. 2 years
was there
of
an NCAA?
Samson.
I know he. Didn't,
oh, maybe there was an NCAA.
He had a show cause thing in the NCAA at one point.
That's bad, man. Because Sampson is thriving in Houston right now.
Because he had to go be an assistant in the NBA for a couple
NCAA,
of years to lay low.
Thank you. Thank
he was
you
sending
that,
text messages to recruits.
Oh, how dare he?
Something that was against the NCAA
rules. I'm sure
rules.
Nobody does that nowadays.
He received a 5-year show cause penalty.
For texting people?
For texting people.
The dumbest of rules.
He was there for 2 years. He then went to the NBA, was an assistant for the Bucks, and then the Rockets, and then took the Houston job. He's been in Houston since 2014. He's been there a long time.
Can we do a follow-up with Patrick Morrissey, the governor of West Virginia, and ask how he felt about North Carolina after yesterday?
is it still a miscarriage of
do
justice?
Do they still not deserve to be there?
I don't know if
still
he does. Do they have like a daily briefing with the governor there in Morgantown?
There's got to be some radio host that sneaks in there and be like, hey, governor, did you watch the game last night? Did you keep an eye on the tournament? What happened?
What?
And the
excuse
plan?
Me? No, I was, yeah.
How big the smile was Bubba Cunningham having yesterday?
Dude, that guy was grinning ear to ear. He probably got another bonus because they won a tournament game or however we want to label that. So he's getting more cash
unit.
In his account. He's
That's
getting another unit.
Get.
He's feeling great right now. North Carolina's going to be that team. Watch them end up in the Sweet 16.
I mean,
it happens.
Why can't you?
You have a point guard that was on a national championship winning team.
You did.
Miss.
Yeah.
He couldn't miss.
And they all hunkered down and that was a giant bird to everybody.
That game
yesterday.
Sucked. It was terrible.
It was awful from the get-go.
The game before it was Alabama State and St. Francis.
If you're going to have St. Francis and Alabama State play, then do this.
They have to go 94 feet. Simpson will inbound under his own basket. Pinedo pressures the ball. He throws a baseball right-hand pass, arcing toward the far free throw line. It's loose under the basket. Laid up and in by Knox. 7/10 of a second to go. Amar Knox gives Alabama State the lead. 68.
A great game, a great ending. Also, like, it's just such a downer that those two have to play.
It's so stupid
to even get in.
It's so stupid.
That is the most downer part of that. It's a great moment for those Alabama State kids. I love the coach. Let's keep playing. It's like, you're going to get smoked by Auburn.
Yeah, you have no chance.
Not a chance in hell.
But thank you anyways. I felt terrible for St. Francis, man.
I did too.
I saw pictures of their gym yesterday because there's accounts that'll do that of like, hey, here are the 16-seed gyms. And it's like, it looks like a high school gym.
Yeah.
This is like a crowning moment. Like, we were in the NCAA tournament. What an awesome time.
Just bad luck the way that ball. It was not a bad throw, but it's just like the way it gets tipped around and the guy's just there with nobody in front of him.
Yeah, there was one of those in the SEC like 10 years ago that was a Hail Mary that was very similar So maybe Auburn won. I can't remember who, but somebody won a game on a Hail Mary
Jaylen
like that.
Daniels
where like tipped up
Hail
and down.
Mary
you're like, oh, and then the guy catches it like perfectly in stride. You're like, oh, how did that happen? What are the chances that happened? Just huck it down the court. It's a tie game. What do we got to lose? There's 2 seconds to go. And it's in your hands, a layup. Game
and
over.
And then they went to a 30-point blowout. And it's like, okay, well, this night's over.
That's it.
Thanks.
Caught the end of the Dubs Bucks game.
Who are our play-in teams today?
So the 16 seeds are Mount St. Mary's against American University.
I don't know what you do here, but I just really hate that those schools can't just be in the dance.
Yeah.
I don't know how you fix it or what you do.
I got no problem with making North Carolina be in there. I got no problem making San Diego State be in there. Xavier, Texas, no issue with it whatsoever.
They're
all those games.
Conferences.
Put Oklahoma in the damn game. Make it 8-9 games, whatever.
Agreed.
7-10 games. I'm fine with those being play-in situations.
Let the 16 say, we made the tournament this year.
And then you actually get to go be in the tournament, not in a random game in Dayton, and then your season is over.
Coming up next, I want to talk about what is going to happen with this situation in sports. We'll get to that next. How would you handle this happening to you, and can farting make your hair gray? We'll get to that coming up. I have something that could maybe unite Dirt and Beaver fan today.
We're coming together as one.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Beaver Nation.
I believe so.
Okay.
I'll tell you how. It's 7.
All right.
We got Armin Katayan, world-renowned author, writes many a good book. Tiger Woods' book that we interviewed him with not that long ago. He's got a new one coming out about Sonny Vaccaro. It's a memoir. I read a little bit of it yesterday, and a memoir and a biography. Very interesting. What is the difference between those two?
Well, usually a memoir is written by
the person.
By the person, or there are stories from the person, and you might have somebody write it for you.
Because this is a, it felt like a mix, kind of. Because a lot of Sonny Vaccaro, like, perspective.
And it might have been something where they started down that path, and then he obviously
needed an author
and you know, passed away. And so then Armin went and finished it, and so combined it. He might not have had enough. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be my best guess, too. Mostly, is Sonny Vaccaro dead?
I thought he passed.
No. I'm pretty sure Sonny Vaccaro is still... You threw me for a loop there. I'm pretty sure he's still alive. Because I was reading snippets of this yesterday.
Boy, you were going to be way wrong on
I
this.
Was reading... Yeah, he's still alive. I was reading snippets on this
you
yesterday, and it was like,
Sonny
Vaccaro? He's still active in the... Like, I'm reading through this yesterday, and I'm like, wait a minute. Did I miss this? Did I not get all the way to the end?
I was so
confused there.
No. Thought, you said that, I went, what do you know that I don't
he's
know?
He's still going. No. He's still ticking. He's 85 years young, Sonny
Just
Vaccaro.
Went Oracle right there.
You did. That was...
I did.
But yeah, I think to the point of the memoir biography thing, I think it is right where the guy helps you write the book.
Go get some more coffee.
Go get some coffee. And Armin Katayan,
don't die on your way there.
Sonny Vaccaro teamed up to write this together.
My apologies to Sonny.
Or a lot of it came from him, and that's why it's a memoir, not a biography.
Should we tell Armin that Swag killed Sonny Vaccaro during the interview?
So, funny thing happened earlier in the show. Can we confirm Armin still alive? Yeah, okay. Just wanted to confirm that.
Be great to get him. Sonny, Swag thought you died.
Oh, yeah, tell that bastard he's going to die. I'm still here, damn it.
Last night, I'm watching NBA basketball because that college game blew.
That was
horrible. Thank you, NBA TV.
Yeah.
I know you
I was bummed by
you have
it.
The pass.
What do you mean?
You have the league pass, correct?
Yeah, but it's on NBA TV.
Yes.
I was bummed because I knew Steph wasn't going to play. And like, I'm not shocked that Golden State won because I've seen them enough to say, I don't think the Bucks are very good.
Yeah.
They're 8 games above .500.
Dame was not good down the stretch.
Well, him and Giannis combined, I think, were like 6, or what were they? Like
they were not good 12 in the fourth
quarter. Or 16 for 34. It's something like, they didn't have a good game combined.
They had a little comeback in the third quarter where you're like, all right, maybe there's something here. And then, no, they scored 17 in the fourth.
But I just, you know, I keep an eye on the Bucks because they're our East Coast team with Dame on them. And
they are.
I just, it doesn't feel like it's going to end well.
No, none of it seems like it's going to end well. And if you're looking for a positive spin there from the Blazer angle, is that you hold a lot of those future draft picks. So that stuff's going to age.
Giannis wants out.
Relatively well. They're in between a rock and a hard place. And this is one of the success stories of the modern NBA. There are some failures, but it's the difficulty of putting together a roster with multiple massive contracts. And when you have Giannis's deal on the books and Dame's deal on the books, like, where else are you going to go? They used up a lot of their capital, draft capital, that is, to go get Lillard.
Yeah.
Jrue Holiday was in that deal. What else do they have to play with? I mean, they were essentially stuck with deciding, do we want to move Chris Middleton at the deadline? And that clearly hasn't worked out well. And you said that it wouldn't at the deadline. Mm-hmm. Kuzma's been, hadn't done much in the second half of the year.
Shocking. The guy who's had his all-time worst career as a Wizard just came over to Milwaukee and hasn't done really anything.
I think his numbers are actually down from where they were in Washington. Dude, and he was not having a good year in Washington to begin with.
Did you catch any of that game last night?
I did. I was watching a little bit of it.
How do you watch that game? You don't have to watch the NBA every day. You could watch that game and you can go, wait, their bench is Gary Trent Jr.
Good luck.
Kevin Porter Jr.
Yep.
AJ Green and Ryan Rollins.
the wrestler? He's in the NBA now? What?
His brother Seth is.
Thought that was Tree's son. Tree Rollins.
But that's just, that's a terrible bench.
It's horrible.
Gary Trent's a fun Portland thing. Oh, we love Gary Trent. Hey,
Gary
okay.
Trent was one he's okay. of... He's terrible. Yeah.
Not a lot of options.
Moving
down
on
there.
From Gary Trent Jr. is one of the only good things Neil Olshey ever did.
Lopez is old, and some nights he shows it, and some nights he's okay. As long as he's... If he can hit a three, he's okay with it. Kuzma's not trustworthy. And then you got Torian Prince.
Yeah, that's it.
It's just like, I understand that roster building is incredibly difficult. You got two big contracts. Yeah, I get all that. That was a bad roster going into the year.
And
that,
made,
that was something I was like, that's your team? This is what your second year with the Dame full ramp up offseason, their first full, complete training camp, everything. And that's the team you're going to put?
Yeah.
I just looked at them and I was like, ah.
I mean, they'll be fine in the East because the East isn't very good, so they're going to end up in the playoffs, but they're not going to go.
They're in the playoff, but I don't know if they win their first round series.
No, they might not.
If you told me the Pacers beat them, I don't know how surprised I am by that.
Yeah. I mean, if Giannis is healthy, I would hope that he could win a first round series kind of on his own. He's unique in that where it's.
He is unique in this
We've
way.
Forgotten. I mean, he led a team to it. That wasn't that long ago.
He is a great player, Dirt, and he definitely can lead, I think, a series. But the Cleveland, and they surprisingly did not play well yesterday, but they lost the Clippers.
They lost to the Clippers. A couple in a row now, right? Or two out of three that after
two in a row.
Orlando.
Yeah, back
two in
to
a row.
Games.
Yeah. Cleveland. Boston, New York, Pacers are a flip of the coin, and I'm gonna bold take the Pistons could be a flip of the coin.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of teams in that East that I feel confident about. Milwaukee, they could win their first round series against Indiana. After that,
you need your stars to show up.
They're gonna beat Cleveland. Are they gonna beat Cleveland? Maybe they do. Maybe Dame and Giannis go off. But I just don't think that team is very good.
If you have games like they had last night where they were both really bad basically throughout the game, that's all you got. You got those two guys. And so in a 7-game series, can you get three good elite games from Giannis and Dame and then have the role guys win you one maybe? That's what you're hoping for if you're a Bucks fan. The difficult part for them, and I don't disagree with the Kuzma take at the deadline. What else do they do? I don't know what assets they have. Do they have anybody else on the roster that's attractive to move? The only thing you got is breaking up your duo, which then you're just essentially restarting with another duo. But I don't think there's a lot of interest in Dame at this point.
You got to work around the margins for sure.
That's the only way that you can do it. And so you're essentially stuck with, if we don't hit on a draft pick that's going to be on a cheap rookie deal that can come in and help us right away. They don't have a lot of future first-round picks. They got no enticing young players to trade. There's nothing. Their hands are completely tied behind their back, and all of the eggs are in the basket of, we need two guys to carry us.
Will they be back as a duo next year, or will one of them, and I'm talking about the taller one, ask out?
How many years does he have left on his contract? You know
Dame?
That? No, Giannis.
That's a good question. Don't know.
Okay.
3 years?
Because I know he just recently signed the extension.
I thought he had an opt-out, though, maybe.
I think he does have an opt-out
season.
At some point.
He is... Yeah, where is it? There we go. He's got a player option for next year.
Yeah.
He's got a player, so he can be out.
If he was smart, he'd opt out because he can still get a massive contract.
Yeah, he's got $51.9 million on the way for his player option of next season.
Is he going to age well?
He's going to be 31 years old next year.
He's a phenomenal shape. The dude
phenomenal player.
His game, his body, you don't worry about the work ethic, I think, with that guy.
Chances that they're back together, I'll give it 60-40, yes, no.
I was watching a couple games ago, I was watching them, and I just kept thinking, I understand that maybe his family, his brother's sitting courtside now, he's not on the team, he's just
Thanasis isn't in the league anymore?
He's the courtside, you know, Buck fan who's the brother of Giannis. And he, oh, it was the Luka game. It was the Laker-Buck game. And he was, like, razzing Luka. And Luka hits a three and razzes him back. And they're having fun. And I just thought, like, man, how cool it is. It'd be great if he stayed in Milwaukee's whole career.
It would.
I do like those stories. I don't blame any player for ever leaving.
No.
But I do love the story of the player playing with one team. I don't know if he will because there's a lot of Chicago hints. There's a lot of New York stuff, Miami stuff. Maybe he'll ask out. But I'm curious to see if they run that back one more year. But what do they? I don't know how they fix their team.
The difficult part with all of this is that I think, and Kevin Durant kind of hinted at this at the deadline when he shut down all the potential trades for him. And I thought it was a really smart way of thinking about it. Of like, if I get dealt somewhere, that team's going to have to give up so much that it doesn't, like, where they're just in a different situation without some of the key pieces that the team needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it's interesting with Giannis. Of like, does he just opt out and hit the free agent market? And say, I want to go have a chance to win somewhere. Because if you're going to trade for Giannis right now, what's that going to take to go get him? If he opts into the last year of his deal, you then get a guarantee that he'll sign an extension with you, so you're willing to trade for him. How many first-round picks? How many young players? Like, what's that going to take? And then at that point, after moving all of that, where's the rest of your roster? And do you have enough to win around him? It's almost better for these guys to hit free agency and leave in that way so the other roster isn't gutted when they go make a move for you.
Coming up next, what would you do if this happened to you? It's kind of terrifying to think about. Would you handle it well? We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan. I think I can bring Beaver Fan and Dirt together today.
Coming together as one.
That's a, it's a heavy task.
It's not easy. He didn't wear the right hat for this segment, but I think I can make it happen.
I didn't get the memo there. I also don't think my baseball team's in the top 10 anymore. Didn't we lose a couple of games this weekend? I think we fell out of the top 10.
Yes.
Yeah. Admit it, who knew the Gophers were good? Gophers got us. Damn it.
Beavs have won 10 in a row.
Giving B1G problems over there, huh?
B1G, man. It's tough. It's a great baseball conference, as everybody says. Great baseball. I think they're going to fill up half the College World Series field this year.
Not as strong as the Indy.
No, those Indy, you guys are the Notre Dame of college baseball. Look
damn
at you.
Right we are.
Look at you over there.
Barnes is going to be at the collective playoff tournament meetings by himself.
Just, I'm an independent contractor here who wants our services.
If I told you had to go somewhere and it was a quick trip and it became an extended stay, far more than you ever could have expected, how do you react to that situation? Because I don't know if you have been following this at all. There were two astronauts that were told they had to go on an 8-day trip.
A little 8-day trip.
Hey, we need you to test this ship, make sure it's good, go up to the space station, and you come right back.
Come on down.
And they went up, and then there was a leak, and then they couldn't fly down. And for 286 days...
It's a long time in space.
They had been stuck in space until yesterday when we flew them back down. Uh-huh. To Earth.
These folks are built for it, so I imagine they handled it okay. How would I handle it? I would go crazy. There's no chance in hell I could do that. The feeling of no gravity would be cool for like a day. You're like, ooh, I'm floating around. I got to tie myself down. That's kind of cool. Look at this. I'm running on a treadmill, but I'm strapped down to the ground. Like, hey, that's fun. After a day, I'd want out. Get me out of here. I want to put my feet back on the ground. I don't like this feeling anymore.
You couldn't pull off the Matt Damon thing in The Martian?
No, I could not.
My stuck God. On Mars?
No.
That movie's terrifying to me. No, I can't handle it.
Couldn't
that movie.
Do any of it. I did see,
what
though.
What are you doing? I'm growing potatoes.
We're growing potatoes. In your own poop.
Just hanging out, growing potatoes in my poop. I did see when they landed, though. Did you see there were dolphins that were flocking around them?
Yeah.
In the ocean? That was pretty badass.
That's a cool return. A
little welcoming committee. Yeah. Hey, go jump in the ocean, swim around with the dolphins.
I think the dolphins are trying to get in the capsule so they could leave.
They probably want out of here. Yeah. Hey, this ocean's poison now. We want out of here, man.
The oil in the plastic bags.
Send us up to Mars. There's got to be water up there somewhere.
No, but I just, they handled it really well. I've seen all their interviews. They've been, you know, They've been very kind and patient. The lady always has her hair out, so it's just flying
floating around
everywhere.
Yeah.
But I was reading about like the return part of it, and when you're up in space that long, what most of us don't really think about is the impact of coming down to Earth has on your body.
I can't even imagine
the gravity. So yeah. When you want to walk, your body has to have an adjustment period. I read. And so it feels like somebody is pulling you down when you're just sitting up out of a chair.
That's not fun.
When you go outside, most of the time, you can only be outside for certain amounts of time because the sun's too bright for you.
Right.
Because you don't face that problem in a space station.
No, you do not.
Eating schedules. You can't eat at a normal time like your family does.
No, you're not just sitting down for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
So it's just like, I was just reading about all of these things that these two astronauts have to now endure.
For 200 days plus in space.
After almost being there for 300 straight days. The record, by the way, to be in space from a human is 371.
371. So they encroached on the record.
So, yeah, they were about nine months. Territory.
Yeah. I mean, they're obviously working. There's things that they're probably doing at the space station that need to be taken care of.
Well, but they weren't expecting to have to work that long.
And if you're packing for, like, I imagine you need some things to do. Yeah. Like, you take a book, you read the book, now the book's done.
I think you read it again.
You just read it again?
I think you...
And then read it again?
Yeah.
And then read it again?
You
and then read it again?
You become the foremost voice of a certain book.
The hell am I doing every day, man? I'm out of activities
and
up here.
And then you write a book about the book.
There you go.
Because you read the book in space eight times.
You're keeping... Your journal entries are just becoming...
How would you handle that?
As Dirt mentioned, anybody that gets into wanting to become an astronaut is fully prepared. You know, you're aware that, you know, despite all the grandmaster plans.
Okay, we get all that.
Yeah.
You're up there for 9 months.
But you're at the International Space Station. That's where they ended up.
Yep.
So you do have a little bit of space to explore up there. I'm assuming there's things. And I think you just find something, as Dirt mentioned, to get put to work on.
No, so how would you handle it as a human? I know what you're saying. Yes, space station, big, lots of stuff.
Actual astronaut, you got stuff to do. But I put you up
there. How do you, with your personality types, handle, hey, you're leaving for 8 days. Awesome. The pilots are taking you on a flight. We got to go to Wyoming. We're going on an 8-day trip. We got 2 games. We'll be back. Oh, no. We don't have access to an airplane. You're in Wyoming now for 9 months, bud.
I find something to work on to pass the time.
Mm.
I'd go crazy. I couldn't do it.
You
no chance.
Do it?
No chance I could do it. None at all.
I would invent a project if I had to occupy the time.
Popsicle stick house or something.
Something like that. Yep. You'll
paint your green plants blue.
I just wouldn't want to be in that situation.
God no.
I would not handle it.
I'm glad they're back. I'm glad they're safe. Everything seemed like it worked out okay.
Safely returning is like the best possible scenario at all.
With a bunch of dolphins swimming around them.
I mean,
so they got that on the welcome home committee.
And now it's the adjustment period.
Good luck with all that, man. I remember they did that with Mark Kelly when he was up in space because he was an astronaut, and he has a twin brother, and they studied his DNA and how different it was from his brother, and it was remarkable the things that they found from his time in space and how different they were now after his return.
Well, to me, the other crazy part of this is just the fact that as well that they don't have a ship just readily available to fly up, get them, and get back down.
No.
It goes from 8 days, and people tried to make this a political thing, and they both, as astronauts, were like, there's no politics being played here.
Yeah.
So, like, anybody dabbling in that world, you need to get that out of your brain. The astronauts themselves said there was no politics at play. The fact that we're still not at a place where rockets can just
send you down.
Yeah. It's kind of disappointing. It's 2025. I thought we'd be a little closer to the Star Wars world than we would what we are.
Somebody said, are astronauts allowed to do it?
I think.
Is it allowable?
Do you float?
I mean, you float. I mean, you could strap yourself down.
Floating would be kind of...
It'd be pretty cool.
Well, it seems like it'd be cool.
After 7 months, you'd be tempted, would you not?
I really don't think there's much NASA's doing at that point.
No, it can't be against the rules.
Do they still have those urges in space?
I would think so.
I would imagine.
I'm going to Google that one on my work computer.
Does that guy wake up and... normal guy stuff in the morning?
Does it still work with no gravity? How does that happen?
I don't know. That's such a long time... We did this for how much money would you have to go? And it's like, well, what if I told you you'd have a choice? You had 9 months.
Well, also, you got to be careful where it all goes. It's going to end up everywhere, just floating around.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, one hits you in the forehead.
They're in suits.
Hey, come on, man.
What? No, I don't think that's how that goes. I think they could do it, though.
I'd imagine they could do it.
Are you not disappointed with how behind we are?
I am very disappointed. We went to the moon so long ago.
In the '70s, and I don't feel like I see a big difference.
No, every futuristic TV show told me we'd have flying cars by now, let alone the ability just to shuttle up a spaceship. We're lacking in technology.
We still blow rockets up because we don't expect it to blow up.
Because all our infrastructure is going towards building new phones, man. That's all it's about.
Is that what the problem is?
That's what the problem is. Too many phones. Stop worrying about the phones. Let's go to space.
Well, I'm glad those astronauts are back safely. I think swag would actually crack the most. That's my hot take.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
I think I'd be number one. No, I'd put myself there.
I think you would, but I think he's downplaying how long
it would take until you just went insane.
Yeah. He always has to do something.
He's just going to hit the eject button. Just get me out of here. Here I go. I'm out. I can't do this anymore.
Frozen body floating through space. loaded second hour. Could Dirt and Beaver fans be united on this? We'll talk about that. And also an Oregon Duck player making an interesting decision for himself with the NFL draft. We'll get to that. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.